Good friend of the show, good guest, and who is now in his first year as the general manager of the Calgary Flames and has the Flames currently in a playoff position. Brad Treliving joins us once again. Brad, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Jason. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. Now, I remember when you took the job and you talked about how, you know what, we wanted to make a few moves and we just wanted to become more competitive. You didn't use the term playoffs. You just said we felt like we needed to be a more competitive team and work hard. And here we are at the 50-game mark, and your team is right in the mix, Brad. Surprise, maybe not the right word, but have some guys sped up their development maybe quicker than you thought?
I think that's probably a fair comment, Jason. I think, you know, anytime you come in new to an organization, you have thoughts and opinions on people. And as I said, you know, when I first got here, I call them outside thoughts, because you're not around these people, or you haven't been around them, and you don't see them on a daily basis. So, you know, I think, you know, there's some opinions that I had coming in that I wouldn't say were completely off the mark, but, you know, there's some players here that have definitely performed better than I thought they could or would. And then I think, you know, any time you have, you know, to a certain extent, a little bit of success, you need people maybe to overperform against expectations. And I think we've had that. We've had some, you know, we've had some tremendous performances this year thus far. And then we've had some players that, you know, specifically on from a younger side, that, you know, have taken a step, whether it be a Sean Monahan who's, you know, come back in his second year and really taking a big step forward, a Johnny Gaudreau coming in his first year and quite honestly outperforming the expectations that we as an organization would have had for him, you know, at this stage of his career. So, you know, I think everybody, every organization looks for that. As you go into training camp, you know, you have an idea of what people can do, but each team is looking for a surprise or looking for people to outperform expectations. And, you know, for us to keep pushing forward, we're going to have to continue to do that.
When you mention that they outperform the expectations, is it hard not to then suddenly move the bar up to say, okay, now this is what we expect? Or do you have to say, okay, you know what, yeah, it's great and confidence is rolling, but we still have to build our team around what our original projections were? Or is that number always changing throughout the year?
Well, I think, you know, you're constantly monitoring your team. You're constantly evaluating your team. And you know, I think for us here, we're taking a long-term view in terms of the building of our team. Now, you also, you know, you do smaller segment type things, and you know, as you look at where things are trending and where players may be trending and where teams may be trending. So, you know, it's a combination of the two. You know, our position here has been, and I think it's no different from any team. You know, any manager looks at his team, and you're always, the job is to how do you get better? And you'd always like to help your team, you know, now to continue to push forward. But, you know, from our standpoint, it's not something that we've got an appetite to go out and start throwing A-level assets, young assets, you know, for just real quick, short-term possible fixes.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll continue to look at it, monitor it, and if there's ways that we can help ourselves, you know, that's the job. You're always looking to get better, but you have to manage that against the backdrop of what is the cost and to do those types of things.
I love how you say possible fixes, because you're right. On paper, it might look like it's good. Hey, we bring in this veteran guy, it makes us older, but it doesn't guarantee a success. And sometimes you can give away too much of the future. That's got to be the challenge for your team, especially because as the playoffs get closer, Brad, in that trade deadline, I'm sure it's enticing to want to secure your spot in that playoff.
Yeah, I mean, our team is, like I said, we've still got some time before, obviously, the deadline is here, but you know, I give a lot of credit to our players. We, you know, as we keep saying, we haven't accomplished anything at this point. But you know, as you said, as we're approaching the 50 game mark now, you know, we've put ourselves in that mix, in that, you know, the group of teams, and that's a real credit to the coaches and the players for the job that they've done. So yeah, you you want to help. You want to help push that along. But you know, the job also, it's important to look beyond today and making sure that you're managing, you know, you're managing the reserve list and the assets accordingly. And you know, at this time of the year, I know the temptation is always there for everybody to say, okay, let's go grab this or go grab that. And you can wake up one day and say, well, wait a minute, where did all our young players go? Where did all our picks go? And that just, again, I think you have to have restraint. And the deadline can be a dangerous time sometimes in terms of, you know, the desire. There's always the right intent to help yourself. It's just it always comes back to what is the cost. And those are things that we're going to try to manage as best we can.
General Manager of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treliving, joins us at Oilers in Calgary tomorrow night to take on the Flames. Brad, for your team, when you look at the strengths, I think it's safe to say it starts with your defense pairing. Obviously, Giordano and Brody have been outstanding, and then the guys after that, and that allows your forwards to kind of fall into place with some solid goaltending. But if you were to tweak, when you look at your team, like is it the traditional veteran, we want another third-pairing defenseman, or is it possible, do you think, in the trade market now with so many Eastern teams out that you might be able to get, you know, a second or third line scoring winger?
Probably the best answer, and it's not a great one for radio, is I don't know. You know, it's an interesting market right now. As you said, I think there's, you know, at least the last few years you've gotten, you know, as close as you get to the deadline, people are, you know, every team's doing their own self-evaluation of whether they're, you know, trying to add or if they're trying to subtract. And, you know, this year's a little bit differently, and you said there's a little bit of a separation in the East, but, you know, having said that, we're still over a month from the deadline, and all of a sudden somebody rattles off two or three or four wins and, you know, puts them right back in the mix. So, you know, a lot of that depends on what the availability is in the market. You know, for us here, is there some things we'd like to look at? Sure. But we also keep in mind that, you know, we feel pretty strongly about a couple of the young players that we still have in the minors. You know, we've early on in the season went through a bunch of injuries, and the good part about that has allowed us to bring a lot more, you know, a few more young players into our lineup and get them some NHL games. And you know, so you balance that. You know, it's again, the cost of acquisition, contract term, and potentially, if there is term, what does that do down the road? Does that box somebody out that you hope to have, you know, playing later in the season or even next year? So, you know, we're managing all that. You know, we're managing, you know, where their opportunities might be and ultimately what's the cost of those opportunities.
Brad Treliving, GM of the Flames, joins us. Brad, I noticed I was reading online, a lot of people wondering, you brought up some young guys in Witherspoon and Berchi, and you've had them in the press box since recalling them. Do you just want them around this winning attitude? Is the plan to get them in the lineup right away? What's the thought process going around having those young guys in the press box?
Yeah, well, it's been just a couple days. You know, they went through, they just finished the AHL All-Star break. We had a couple of, you know, guys nicked up here, so we were unsure the availability of a couple guys. So these, you know, the three guys you talked about have played very well of late in the American League. So we wanted to get them up there. There was a very good chance they were going to be playing. You know, ultimately at the end of the day, the coaches devised the lineup each night. So we weren't quite sure in terms of our manpower. And then it was a reward too. These guys have been playing well. They're deserving to be here. And the third factor was, you know, although we didn't have a back-to-back, we all heard about this big storm that was coming on the East Coast. And we were a little bit nervous that if something did happen during that time frame in terms of an injury or something, whether we'd be able to get people here in time. So, you know, whether they're going to play tomorrow, those are things that the coaches will go through here tonight and tomorrow. We don't think there's been a it's been a negative them being around the team now. You know, we do not hold as a practice bringing young people up and sitting them out, and we'd much rather have them playing, whether it's here or in Adirondack. So we'll see what the next day or two brings in terms of the lineup for tomorrow night and beyond.
Yesterday, the big announcement, there's going to be the Pacific Division in the American Hockey League. How do you see this being a big benefit to your club? And the fact that you might play anywhere from 6 to 10 fewer games, do you think that's actually a benefit, or is it a little bit of a concern?
Well, the whole idea and the premise behind the Pacific Division, I think, is I think it's a great idea, and I think it'll be a tremendous benefit to all the teams involved. You know, this has been something, this is not a new idea or plan. This goes back years, long before I was here, and you know, even years I was in Phoenix, it's been talked about. I know Brian, even going back to the days that he was in Anaheim, you know, this has been talked about for a long time. And you know, a few things, when you just look at the teams out west here, and the proximity or lack thereof, close proximity of your farm teams. You know, we look at the Eastern-based NHL clubs and the advantage that they have by having their American League affiliate in some cases in the same market, and in a lot of places, you know, accessible by a short drive, and just the advantages that has. You know, obviously people talk about player recalls, which is one part of it. The ability to get and see your players easier, having more access for staff to be down there on a regular basis. So that's part of it. And then, you know, with the number of games, I think that was an important element for all the people involved in the Pacific Division. You know, the key thing for us was really stressing player development. And I think obviously, you know, it's important to play games at the pro level. We all understand that and recognize it. But you know, part of the development process isn't just playing games. You know, it's getting proper practice time, it's getting proper rest and recovery time, proper off-ice training time that you can do in season. And in some cases, you're a little bit inhibited, you know, when you play the schedule that they currently play in the American League. You know, when you start talking about 3 games in 2.5 nights and those types of things. So we think that, and I know there's still work to be done in terms of the scheduling, but we think the manner in which it's going to resolve itself is going to be one that really lends itself to a better player development atmosphere for all the teams. And I really commend the work that everybody put into it. You know, this is a group of teams that, you know, then there's obviously a competitive nature, but those things were put to the side for the greater good. And that's, you know, what's in the betterment of all of our interests in terms of developing young players more effectively, more efficiently, and then obviously having what we think is going to be easier access to those players going back and forth. So I think it was you know, yesterday was an important day. There's been a lot of work that goes into it, and I think it'll prove over the years to be a real significant development.
Brad Treliman, GM of the Flames, joined us. Brad, a few more quick ones for you. Appreciate your time. Curtis Glencross, I know, is coming back off an injury. I actually saw him in L.A. and then told me, you know, he was getting closer. He's a pending UFA. last year, you guys, you know, you kept Camilleri, and then he eventually, you know, he left in free agency. And I know you weren't there then, but obviously Brian was. So I'm sure you've had those conversations. Do you need a contract before the deadline to keep him, because, you know, trading him might actually lessen your chances of making the playoffs? What's your thought process with Glencross?
Well, as far as, you know, contracts and those types of things, those aren't anything we're going to comment on publicly. Curtis is a really good player for us. He's you know, he's working through an injury right now that we don't think is going to keep him out very long, but we also want to be smart about it. And, you know, we'll see. This is a guy who's been a really good player here for a long period of time. And you're right. You know, you're balancing that position of, you know, he's a pending unrestricted free agent. And what that may, if he gets to the market, what that may mean for him, as well as, you know, the position that we're in right now in terms of the standings and whether we get something done moving forward. So those are all discussions that we look at every day. But, you know, we'll see how things transpire here in the coming days and weeks. And right now, our focus with Curtis is just getting him healthy and getting him back on the ice, hopefully sooner rather than later.
And Sam Bennett, speaking of getting back on the ice, you expecting him back in junior? What's going to be the plan?
Well, similar to, as we talk with Curtis right now, Sam is, you know, he's gone through it's obviously a much more significant injury. He had a shoulder surgery in October, was injured in the preseason. You know, we spent a lot of time looking whether rehab versus the surgical route. Ultimately determined that the shoulder needed to be fixed. We did that, and he's been rehabbing it here. Went home for a Christmas with his family, came back in early January. He's been, at that time, was cleared to skate and has been skating since then on his own, you know, under our guidance, and is really, you know, quite frankly, he's nearing a return to where he would be clear for practice. And that could happen here in, you know, sooner rather than later. So we're nearing that point of a decision. In all candor, we really haven't focused on, you know, where and when and all that. The focus has been on Sam getting healthy. And, you know, he's put in a lot of work. The good news is, you know, these are never great things to go through, but the bright side is it's given Sam, you know, a lot of time just not only to rehab the surgery, but, you know, he spent all the time around our team, around our coaches, the players, you know, getting really invested and educated about the NHL and the things that you need to do to play in it. So it's been a great education process for him. He's been able to train. He's gotten physically stronger. So this is a really determined young man, and he's going to be a really good player here for us for a long time. So, you know, we are getting to that point where we're going to have to make a decision of where Sam's at. We're still not there in terms of, you know, him being able to participate. But that day is slowly and surely coming and fast approaching. And at the appropriate time, we'll make a decision. But right now, we just want to make sure that everything is clear and good from a health standpoint. And we'll go from there.
Brad, always great to catch up with you. I really appreciate your time.
You bet, Jace. Thanks for having me on.